thank you for that special. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. All right. I love this time of year. You love this time of year?
Yes.
Amen. It's like the best. I just wish it was like maybe 72 degrees outside. And that might take away from it, though, right? All right. No, this is a wonderful time of the year, and this is a wonderful holiday that we have coming up this week, Thanksgiving, and that's always been special for me and my family, just as I'm sure it is for you and your family. It's just a special time to get together. So, obviously, I want to speak about along those lines of being thankful, of praising the Lord. I want us to turn to Psalm 145. As you probably well know, all of Psalms speaks of praising the Lord, but it really comes to a crescendo as you get to those last few, and then it's just about praise. Every verse seems to speak about praise, and it's a wonderful thing. And I want to speak this morning on, what I entitled this message, The Greatest Privilege of the Believer, The Greatest Privilege of the Believer, and that is to praise the Lord, to thank Him. We have the greatest opportunity that anyone can have, folks, and that is to give God praise. We choose to do that, to glorify Him, to thank Him. And when it comes right down to it, we're either good at this, maybe we're average, or maybe we're not so good. And only you can probably give yourself an evaluation on that, give yourself a grade on that. But one thing is for sure, that every one of us needs to really emphasize this area in our life. Amen? That needs to be an amen right there, because, you know, I know we have a quiet crowd, and that's okay, because we're all kind of wired different, right? You know, there's some folks, if you go down in the South and that just happened, you'd have thought, did everybody just leave, right? Down in the South, they're loud, and I don't think we want to put on things that we're not, but there are some certain things that, boy, we demands a response. And that certainly demands a response, that we are to make an emphasis in this area about praising the Lord. And I know that you do that. I know that there's a lot of praise that goes on in your homes. I know that just from being around the men at prayer meeting. That is just a great time that we have to praise the Lord, isn't it? I mean, we just have a wonderful time. But it is something that we want to make sure that we emphasize, because He's worthy of that. You know, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says that in all things that He might have the preeminence. And that means that we're to put Him and exalt Him to a place that nobody else takes that place. He is to have the preeminence. He is above all. And we're to approach Him that way. And certainly we're to do that with our praise. We all have our strengths. Yet this is an area that ought to be our greatest strength in praising Him. Let's just read those first few verses as we'll start off. We won't go through the whole chapter, but we'll go a little over halfway in this chapter here today. But Psalm 145, and we'll read those first three verses. I will extol Thee, and that means to exalt the Lord. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Just imagine that. Does that sink in? He doesn't just say forever. I love the fact that it says forever and ever. Yep. We're going to praise the Lord. If you know Christ as your Savior, and you're a child of God, then you and I will get to praise Him forever and ever. I mean, it really does hit me. I sit before the Lord, or when I'm praying, and I think, Lord, I'm one of these days I will behold You with my eyes. I will be with You. You know, You're going to take us out of this life, and maybe that's coming soon when the Lord's going to come and get the church out of here, and I'll certainly see Him then. And then when the Lord comes back for Israel, and we're going to come with Him, and then we're going to be with Him as He sets up that 1,000-year reign, the millennium. We're going to be there with the Lord. We're going to get to praise Him. And it just really got a hold of me. Just more and more when I think of it, as I talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be in Your presence. And so for now, we don't get to see Him, but we have the opportunity to praise Him. And then that third verse says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. Amen. Have I prayed yet? I don't think I've prayed yet. I'm getting old, so sometimes I'm not always sure. I don't think I have, right? So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord. We, as it's been stated, Lord, we don't just want to maybe reserve this time of the year to be thankful. We know, Lord, we're called upon, and we're exhorted, and we're, yes, commanded to be thankful every day. That shouldn't be a hard thing for us to come up with. You are a great God. And Lord, sometimes we can be quiet. I know, you know me, I'm reserved. I've always been that way. And so sometimes it's just not always easy to just let things out. But Lord, help us to be aware. Help us to, in some fashion, Lord, exalt you. Lord, you're worthy of it. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives and in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you saved us. For those of us here that know Christ, I hope that's everybody here, but maybe there's some that don't know you, and we pray for them, Lord. We want to see them saved. We want to see them trust Christ as their personal Savior, because we know what a wonderful thing it is to be saved and to know that we have you as our Father. Well, that's a great, great thing, and that we have a great Savior who allowed his precious blood to be shed on our behalf. And so thank you for the things you do for us on a daily basis. You work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We thank you that this work of sanctification, of seeking to bring us more like Christ, help us to simply yield to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in the church. Thank you for the fact that we can have the fellowship that we have with one another, that we can pray for each other. There's so many things we can thank you for. We thank you for this time of Thanksgiving in just a few days. And so we pray, Lord, that we would always have thankful hearts. We pray that you'd bless today. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts, draw us closer to you. May we have a greater love for Christ. Lord, may we, lift you up in praise each and every day. So we thank you for what we read out of your word. Would you speak to our hearts? I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. Fill me, and I pray, Father, that Christ will be glorified. In all of this we pray. Amen. Let me say this again. It ought to be our greatest strength above anything else. You may have some wonderful talents and abilities, and praise the Lord, because many of you do. I mean, what Vicky does up here, oh, my goodness, you know, and I'm not here to lift you up. I know you don't do it for that reason. Thank you for just being a servant to the Lord, because you're a blessing to us. And Brother Ray is, and Brother Jason when he gets up here, and all of you, what a blessing to just be a part of serving the Lord. But it ought to be, you know, we do things for the Lord because we want to exalt him. And I got to catch myself. I got to catch my flesh, because my flesh can be all about, I'm doing something so I could be noticed, or I'm doing something because there's a tainted motive. I've done that too many times, and I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I want to do things so that he's exalted and that he is glorified. And so that ought to be our greatest strength is, again, with all the talents and abilities that you may have, the greatest thing that you should be known for, the greatest thing that I should be known for, is that we just want to praise the Lord. And we want to exalt him because he's worthy of all of that. And by the way, when you do that, you're going to end up giving your own self a shot in the arm. You know what I mean? What I'm saying by that? You will benefit yourself. I mean, if you had a tainted motive, you might just go, I'm just going to do it for that reason, because it makes me happy. We shouldn't. I should have got some kind of response. No, we shouldn't do it, obviously, for that reason. But if you and I praise the Lord, whenever I praise the Lord and I have that time with him and I just, Lord, you're just amazing. I just find out that I just go, man, I find myself in a good place. And the Lord says, well, that's because the Lord just gets real close when you're praising him. He's just right there, and there's just no better place to be. And so I just want to exhort you that spend time praising the Lord. I know many of you do, all of you do, but let's take it to greater heights, amen? Because when we do that, the Lord just is right here in our presence. Let's take a quick look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is a great a reminder of that here in the New Testament, and to a church that was probably mostly Gentiles. There's certainly some Jews here. Just as you read through this epistle, you know that there are Jews and Gentiles, and there's a mix. But as he speaks here to the church, he says this in verses 6 through 12. We'll just read through it. I'll just make a comment or two. But it says here in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1, we'll get back to Psalm 145 in just a little bit, but it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, right there. I mean, to the praise, we just want to praise you, but there are numerous things of why we should praise him as well. Not that he has to give us anything. If he didn't give us anything but salvation, and he left us and just said, I'll see you down the road when you get to heaven, that would be wonderful. But he gave us a whole slew of things, folks. He's given us marvelous things. And he says, one of the things is, I'll make you to be accepted in the beloved. You're part of this, you're this part of this brotherhood. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. And you belong to me. And then he goes on and he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. A great reminder that we're redeemed, folks, by the precious blood of Christ. Not by some tradition, not by any good works. That would never get us to heaven. But we're redeemed by that precious blood of Christ. And then it goes on to say, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We have the Spirit of God who lives inside of us, and he is seeking to conform us to the image of Christ, and he wants us to have wisdom and discernment and prudence. And God says, I'll give you these great riches if you'll walk with me, if you'll seek my face. And then he says, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The mystery of that will, when you get to chapter 3, speaks about the fact that we're a part of the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, part of the same body. He revealed this through the Apostle Paul. We're part of this wonderful thing that he has revealed to us. It's a great thing. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Boy, there's so much to just try to process there. But all of this, and we're going to be together with him one day, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Folks, we have this wonderful inheritance that awaits us in heaven. Peter speaks about that in his epistle. This wonderful inheritance that has been given to you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 12 speaks about this praising him again, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And then also verse 13 to just add on again, and we could continue to go through this chapter, but I'll just read verse 13 and stop there. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit of promise is called the earnest of our inheritance in the very next verse. But we're sealed. Folks, you can't break a seal that God has done, that God has performed. You and I can't break that seal. Amen. Praise God. I was a child way back in 1977 when I trusted Christ, and he sealed me that day by the Spirit of promise. He says he'll never unseal me. And some people say, oh, well, then you know what that does. That just allows this tendency to just live sloppily and not for the Lord because you know that you're already getting to heaven. No, you know what it does. It just makes us more grateful that what he has done for us, and makes us want to more live for Christ, make us want to more turn our hearts over to him, make us more want to love and to praise him. That's what I see. If it makes you go the opposite direction, you better check some things out. Listen, folks, we know that he inhabits the praises of his people. He certainly inhabits the praises of Israel. He says this in Psalm 22 and verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He loves the praises of his people when they come from a right heart. And may we praise him in that way. We know that because of what Christ did, we have the opportunity, folks, to pray and to intercede and to petition God. And the giving of thanks, we saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's exactly what that passage says. Supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks. Being able to entreat him for things. But the best that we can do, folks, the best that we can do is to praise him. Is to praise him. Jesus said that Mary hath chosen that good part. I'm going to read those passages as well in Luke chapter 10. I love what happens here. He loved to go to Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary's home. He did that a number of times, and probably a number of times that aren't recorded. But in Luke chapter 10, it says here in verse 38 to the end of the chapter, verse 42, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Well, it says she also sat at Jesus' feet. I think maybe she also had been serving, but then she also sat at Jesus' feet. I don't know for certain, but she did something that the Lord commended, because she sat and just listened to the Lord and just admired him and adored him and just worshiped him. And Martha, in verse 40, says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" She's gotten a little gripey, hasn't she? So her sister's there listening to the Lord, and she says, "Lord, it troubles me that my sister is just sitting there, and she's left me to serve all by myself." And he said, "Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Mary's done the right thing. Mary has just spent time just praising me, just adoring me and worshiping me. And Martha, you've kind of gotten a little cumbered about with all of your, all of your service. Now listen, we are to serve the Lord, but I think Martha got a little too carried away with it. In John chapter 12, I'll just read these verses. If you turn there, that's fine. I'll just read these first three verses of John 12. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served." All right, just that's Martha. That's good. "Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And he had great conversation with the Lord." But then Mary is true to form, which is very admirable, because verse 3 says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." That's something that just Mary was just prone to do. She just loved to worship the Lord from what he had done in her life. Boy, let's take her cue. Amen? Yes, that doesn't mean we don't serve the Lord, and it doesn't mean she didn't serve the Lord. I have no doubt she served the Lord, because if you truly praise the Lord, you will serve him. And Martha had things a little bit off balance. So maybe we're wired that way. We're just a doer. You know, we just like to serve. And that's a good thing. But it's good for us to ask the Lord to temper that and to give us good balance. Lord, will you help me? Sometimes I get caught up in just serving, that I take my eyes off of you. Is that maybe a tendency on our part? It's good for us to just come before the Lord and check it with him. And you know, the Lord's good to show us. The Lord's good to reveal some things to us. I'm just grateful for people who do serve. And so I want that to not go unnoticed. I just think of my mom. Every time we would be there, whatever it was, and I think of Thanksgiving coming up. And Thanksgiving, we would all be sitting around the table. But where's my mom? My mom was never sitting. My mom was always at the door of the kitchen, ready to serve. And I admired that. And that's a great thing. But I'll just say this. Be careful that we forget the best part, right? and that is to praise and to honor him. Let's look at a few things that may help us to be better in this area. So we'll look back at Psalm 145. We'll be there now. And the first thing is to be careful to observe his works. Be careful to observe what God has done. In verses 4 through 6, it says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." Now listen, I don't know if you're like I am, but sometimes I can be, I can get sidetracked, and I can be even oblivious at times to some things that are just the obvious or things that are right there staring me in the face. And sometimes it's just because my mind's distracted. My mind's on other things. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Right. Maybe you'll raise your hand. Yeah, good. There's a few of you that do that too. Sure. We all get caught up that way. And, we can become unaware of what's right in front of us. And I like what Helen Keller once said. She said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." Yeah, that's very profound. Listen, we can't afford to be negligent here. We need to be proactive. We need to be thinking ahead about, oh, Lord, I'm going to spend time. I'm going to make a diligent, conscious effort to praise you. And we certainly can do that as we go about from, while we're driving in our car and while we're driving in our car, be careful you don't get too wound up in that, okay? We do want to keep your eye on the road. But while we're going along, no matter where, we can certainly be praising the Lord everywhere, at every moment, all of the time. But we need to be proactive in this, because if we don't have a plan to do it, we just might allow it to go right around us. Make it a point to grab hold of some things and to thank the Lord for those things. The Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. He gives us over and over so many things. The Lord has done amazing things, and it would be good for us to take note of his outstanding works, as we just read about. The very next psalm, Psalm 146 and verse 6 says, "Which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." The next psalm, 147 and verses 8 and 9 says, "Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry." You just think about things that maybe we take for granted. The snow that came down today, the Lord just formulated all of that from the clouds, and what God has done and his creation. It's just magnificent, his creation, and if we'll take notice of it, sometimes we get overwrought like Martha did with all of the serving, and we're caught up with all of the worrying that we forget to praise him and just look around us and see what we have before us. It's amazing what God has done with just the work of his hands. I think of Psalm 139, and you can certainly turn there. It's so close. Psalm 139, when David said this in verse 14, he said this. I'll read all the way through verse 16. Let me go back to 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." And that means, not yet developed is what he's saying right there. "And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Oh, I could go on and on with that passage, but I just think about just his marvelous, his works. All I got to tell you is about my two granddaughters, okay? I mean, I look at my granddaughters, and they're 4.5 months old now, and I'm just watching them. When they see Papa, they always smile, right? No surprise, right? But, they're different. You know, Piper is just like right out there, no problem. Maddie makes you work for it a little. You can see what's going on with her, but I just love, I just look at that and I just, oh, Lord, look what you've made here. Look what you've made. I mean, it was just a year and 2 weeks ago when Hannah just found out that, man, we're good. It's good. We're like, praise the Lord. When is this all going to happen? Oh, somewhere around maybe late June or July. And July 7th, they came along and, Yeah, they've already got me wrapped around their little fingers. You know that. It happened before they ever showed up. But I just look at that, and you know, you can do the same thing. I did that when my kids were little. I just like, look at that. They're following me with their eyes. It's amazing. It's just amazing what God has done. It's just an amazing thing, and may we be mindful of that. Folks, when I pray in the mornings, I really do. I just try my best. When I'm out here mowing the lawn, I just try my best to just look at the Lord and just say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Yeah. Amen, Brother Jordan? Praise the Lord, huh? Amen. The things he's done. I just think about, Lord, thank you that I was able to rise out of bed this morning and I can serve you. I can come to church. You know, not everybody, you know, there'll be a day when I'm sick. I know that happens, but I'm going to try to praise the Lord when I'm sick. I really will. But I just praise him and just say, Lord, it's just amazing what you've done here. It's just amazing what you've made. I can't even get a grip of all of this. You're just amazing. And we look at what he's done and how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not hard to praise God then. It's not hard to just thank him and see how great and how incredible he is. And then how about the things that God has done in our lives? Boy, that's something to praise him for. Amen? Yes. You take a look here about what he's done personally in our lives. You go back to Psalm 143, and I'll just read those five verses. It says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And the psalmist goes on to just say, thank you, Lord, for your great deliverances. You think about the times when you went through some things. Think about the times when it just seemed to be so dark. And it's just good to go back and say, Lord, I remember that time. I didn't have much faith. It was so little, but you honored that little tiny bit of faith. Sometimes I don't even think there was faith, but you were in your graciousness and your kindness and your mercies. You delivered me from that. I don't want to ever forget that. Thank you for that. And thank you for what you did here. And thank you for what you did there. And you know, it's not a bad idea to keep a journal. I don't have a journal. I remember way back in the day, I used to write some things out. And that's just a good idea. If you do that, it's just good to go back and visit that journal and say, yeah, what a great thing you did there. What a great answer to prayer with my grandkids. What a great answer to prayer, how you brought that relative in my family, you brought them to Christ. Oh, what a great thing that you've done. Praise the Lord for his answers to prayer. And then how about his protective hand, how he watches out over us. He protects us. And sometimes, it's again, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, sometimes with the most pathetic of prayers. I have been in prayer meetings, and not anything recently, but I remember way back in the day, I remember praying with somebody. I can't even remember who it was. And I just remember after they prayed, I remember walking away going, that was a very pathetic prayer on their part. I just didn't say it to them, of course not. And then that prayer got answered, and I went, forgive me, Lord, being judgmental of somebody, how they prayed. But God is so good, he answers prayer. I'm just startled at the power of a feeble prayer to win a speedy answer. And that's because God is just gracious and so kind. Folks, the list is just really endless. Now, with this in mind, our second point should be really just the natural progression from this first point. Once we observe his good works, as we read there in Psalm 145, is be mindful to praise him. just be mindful to praise him. I know I've stated that in that first point, but that's really clearly here in these next few verses for everything that he's done. Verses 7 through 10 says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. It ought to be something that we do on purpose, and it ought to be something that we do directly with God, and that is to just be mindful to praise him. I love it again when we meet at different settings, and we have that great back and forth with the saints, and we just talk about how good God is. Again, I point to that men's prayer. How many times, men, that we talked about what God has done and how gracious he's been and answers to prayer. Man, praise God for that. And you know, when we begin to do that, you just sense, oh, the Lord's here. The Lord's here in our presence. And folks, let's make sure that we do that. You know, if you had a neighbor that left a nice gift on your doorstep, well, if you are any kind of a sane person, a reasonable person, you would go over to that neighbor and say, thank you. You gave this to me? Oh, man, I just got to thank you for that. Well, why would you think of me? Listen, we should do the same with God. When God has done so much for us, listen, we are so quick about wanting to just lift up ourselves. That's just part of how we're wired. We've got to show somebody on the whole world on Instagram, look at me rolling a gutter ball. Isn't that amazing? Listen, I'm not, it's good to do those things, okay? I'm not squashing all of that. And if you do it, I'm not condemning that. But I mean, listen, we just don't want that to get out of sorts. It ought to be, you know, yeah, you know, we do those things, okay? But listen, it ought to be that 100 times beyond that, we praise God and we lift him up. Instead of ourselves, we need to give God the praise. And not only should we do it directly with the Lord, but we should also do it regularly. It just ought to be something that we do regularly. Make sure that the blessings never grow old. Right back to verse 2, it says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. So David says, that's why he's a man after God's own heart. And that's why the Lord said, I'm going to put a lot of your psalms and songs and prayers, and I'm going to put it in this book. About half of them are attributed to David. A lot of them are anonymous. We don't know who it was, and some are from some other authors. But mostly it's David who wrote most of these psalms, and it was because he's a man after God's own heart. And David, the Lord said, I'm going to set David up as a pattern. He's a pattern for us. That we're to praise the Lord on an ongoing basis, and we ought to just be thankful for the normal things, the regular things that happen in our life. I mean, we get to eat, man. Praise the Lord, we get to eat. I mean, most of us get to choose. Where do you want to go to eat? Well, how about Applebee's? Oh, we were just there yesterday. Well, how about Cracker Barrel? Well, we were just there the day before. You know, I mean, it's just like. We're spoiled, and then we can, you know, I mean, think about what's happening in Israel right now, and think about what's happening over there in Gaza, and we pray for them. You think about what's happening in so many parts of this world, and yet we live like kings, and we get to bathe every day. Well, at least most of us choose to, okay? But we do. We get to do that. We get to, we fuel our cars and we have email and we recreate. And again, we get to eat whenever we want to. You know, it just astounds me that as much as we eat, you know. And listen, I know you're probably saying speak for yourself, but as much as we eat, I'm wondering why there's no more elbow replacement surgeries, you know. Right. You think that elbow's got to wear out at some point. I think we'll probably start hearing about those. But listen, it would be a shame if we didn't regularly praise God for the blessings that he's given to us. It should be priority number one. David was determined to praise God every day. But not only that, along with praising the Lord directly and regularly, we need to, on this third thing, is to be sure to express it to others. Be sure to tell others about what the Lord has done. Verses 11 and 12 It says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Verse 6 says, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. We need to make sure that whatever it is that we personally praise God about doesn't just stay personal, but that we tell others about how good God is. We need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the maniac of Gadara when he got saved and his life got transformed and he wanted to go and be with the Lord. There in verse 19 of chapter 5 in Mark, it says this, in verse 18, it says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And I think about the maniac was instructed to go home and to tell his friends and family about what Christ had done for him. Make sure to tell your children. Make sure to tell your spouse or whoever is close to you just how good God has been to you. Sometimes we just hide that under a bushel. But we should just, you know, freely make sure that we communicate that. I need to tell my wife more. And my wife, to me, you know, we need to have that correspondence. Oh, let me just tell you what the Lord did. The Lord did this. It's just amazing. There was a great answer to prayer. Let's just not hide those things because it honors the Lord and it lifts him up. And do that with your children. Let them know what God has been doing in your life. And then it just does something. It imprints something on their brains and on their minds as they grow older. They think, oh, man, my parents just used to love to always talk, and they still do, about how great God is and what he's done. And then, you know, you pass on a legacy that way as you tell others about what God has done, how good God has been to you. It's healthy for your home, for your church. It lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we, yes, we're going to have our, you know, we're going to kibitz about a lot of things. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with talking about a new home, and there's nothing wrong with new cars, and there's nothing wrong with talking about your team. That's fine. But we ought to mostly talk about what God has done, what Christ has done in our life, and lift him up, because because he's redeemed us. And it ought to be first and foremost in our hearts that we want to lift him up. Again, and not just those that are close to us, but anyone. Let's be faithful to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has a way of blessing something like that. He will bless it. You remember what he did when the woman at the well bragged on Christ. She went into the city and she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I've done. Is not this the Christ? And practically the whole city comes out to see him because of her proclamation, because of her excitedness. He said, well, something's going on. We know this lady. We know her history. Something's happened. Let's get out there. And a whole bunch of folks from the town came out, almost the whole city. Folks, we have been given the greatest privilege that's ever been given to mankind. And that is the opportunity to praise our great God. Amen. And you know who hates that? That's the devil. The devil hates that. If you want to shrug the devil off, then just be good at praising God. Because as you and I praise him, or we begin to just sing a hymn in our vehicle, the devil is like, he was in the back seat, but he ain't no more. It's like, he's not going to stand for that. He's not going to be around a praising saint, because he hates anything about that. And so if you want to shrug the devil off of your thoughts, you say, the devil's right here. Just start singing. All right? That's one of those ones I need to have a tip jar right here. You could leave a tip for that bit of advice. As you start praising the Lord and singing to him, you're just like, man, I'm happy praising the Lord. And you know what? All of those doubts, all of those swarming doubts like a bunch of gnats, they're just gone as you praise the Lord. And as we've seen, that's why we were saved. It was for the purpose of praising him. For the purpose of praising him. That's why we're saved. Folks, he could have saved us and then just taken us right to heaven, but he's left us here. And certainly we're to serve him, but he wants us to praise him. And God will work in a great way. The question is, are we fulfilling that in our lives? Do we fulfill that in our lives? Are we all about praising the Lord on a regular basis? Yeah, we're here ready to hit Thanksgiving, and so maybe that's our mindset. But again, it ought to be all the time, and not just this month, and not just this week. Now, maybe you're here today without Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. The Bible says we're all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so we're all doomed to hell. Hell is where every one of us deserves to be. And Jesus died and paid he paid the price for us. He became a sacrifice. He became a substitute that nobody else could fill that place. He lived a sinless life. If you're here without Christ, you are in your sin. The Bible says you're lost. But the Bible says that somebody paid a price for you, and that was Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for you today. And he was buried and rose again. And he's alive. And we would all, give witness to that because we know, yeah, we haven't seen him, but he lives in our heart. And the world likes to mock that. Oh, you talk to God? Oh, yeah, well, they have their own thoughts about that. That's because they're in darkness. They don't know the Lord. But we know Christ. And he was risen. And the Bible says that if you'll come to Christ as a sinner in need of a Savior, he will save you today. He'll give you everlasting life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. So he'll save you today. So saint and sinner, if you're a sinner without Christ, we're all sinners that have been saved by grace. But if you're a sinner before the Lord, you need Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I hope you'll respond today to him. This is a great time to just praise the Lord, but it's always a good time to praise the Lord. Yeah. With that, let's bow our heads. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment. And Vicki will begin to play here the piano, and Brother Ray's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation in just a moment with your heads bowed, and we'll be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. He's spoken to your heart about praise. He's worthy of our praise. Do we praise him? Do you praise him as you ought to? Has he spoken to your heart about that? That's a good idea. It's a good time to respond to him if he's speaking to you about that very thing. And that's maybe to come up here to the altar or even there in your seat is to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. Sometimes I get to getting so sidetracked and I get caught up in my problems and I don't praise you as I ought to because you're worthy of it every day, every second of every day. You know, my own heart indicts me right now because I know every second of every day I don't praise the Lord. I get caught up in things probably like you do, but I know I do, and I try to get them back to the Lord again as quick as I can. And maybe that's your pattern, and that's good. But if God has spoken to you, then respond to him as we will sing this hymn in just a moment. If you're here without Christ, you don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. You can know that. You can know that you're saved and that you're going to heaven because you've been forgiven by the precious blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ died for you, and if you'll come to him, he'll save you and give you eternal life. Father, we thank you today. We do praise you. I think about maybe the level of the praise I give to you probably is just pretty, lacking. I want it to be raised to a higher level. I want to praise you more often than I do. You know that I seek to do that, but I do fail. And I know there are many here that do that as well. Help us, Lord. Help us not to get stale or routine about anything in our life. Your great works are amazing. What you've done in just creation, what you've done in our lives, how you've personally done some things in our life, answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord. You're great. You're just... Just the fact that we can know you personally is a wonderful thing. And may we praise you for that. And Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, we want to see them get saved. We want to see them accept Christ into their hearts and into their lives and receive everlasting life. We pray, Lord, that you'll work in every heart, and may we respond today. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.